thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you being with us in these dark days of the Republic. I mean, we are definitely at a crossroads as far as our Constitution, or I should say really what's left of it. And so we've got to hang together, ladies and gentlemen, and we gather information from each other, and this is one of our sources, and you're listening to the Doug and Dave Intel Report on the Common Sense Show with my broadcast partner, Doug Thornton, who's a former combat Marine. I was in Fallujah. I think that's combat enough for you. And he's also been a military contractor, DHS, front lines with Antifa. Yeah, how do you like them apples? Antifa and on the border. And he's seen the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to government law enforcement. And we do not like the direction the country's going. If you're new to the show and we are trying to right the ship, we believe in equal rights for every person without exception, no two-tiered system of justice, and certainly no insider trading. So anyway, welcome. This is the Doug and Dave Intel Report. We are brought to you by the best durable food company in the world. And hello, hello, listen to me carefully. December 5th has now been set as a strike date for one of the railroad groups. I told you it was coming. People laughed at me in September. Oh, it's going to get solved, Dave. Don't panic. 62% of all agriculture goes by train. I'm really, really concerned. So you should get as much storable food as you can. Now, right now, my Patriot Supply, the biggest food supplier in the country, has a $250 special off, I should say $250 off, the three-month emergency kit special. And what do you get? 25-year shelf life, so it'll last you a long time if you don't use it all. You also will get lots of variety in the food. You can stand to eat it, which is not true for a lot of storable food. And you get 2,000 calories per day. Remember, you're not eating to lose weight. You're eating to survive. Once you get down to storable food, that means we're in dire straits. And with the food processing plants going down, all the stuff going on with the supply chain, I can't tell you how much longer this is going to be available. And this is not meant to scare or not fear-mongering. I'm just saying, in all truthfulness and honesty, my family and I, we've redoubled our preparation. And I recommend you do the same, and it all starts with food. Go to foodwithdave.com. That's foodwithdave.com. Take advantage of that sale. And also, we're brought to you by the best water filter. And I am concerned about roving blackouts. We've heard the government talk about this. And if it goes down for very long, you'll have to scavenge water. Do you have the right kind of water filtration? Well, that's what the Alexa Pure Pro water filter is. It's number one in the industry. They have the research at waterwithdave.com to show you. And they still have not raised prices, despite what's going on with the economy. And they have a special as well. Go to waterwithdave.com. Now, I really need to hit this one hard. I believe Dodd-Frank to come into play. It's called bank bail-ins. They can take your money. The banks can. They say you are an unsecured depositor. We had this discussion with Chris Kitsy over on our TV show last night. And you can catch that over at thecommonsenseshow.tv. And Chris and I were talking about Dodd-Frank. The banks can hang on to your money. If they start to go under, they're going to keep your money. They can take your IRA. They can do anything they want. So you need to diversify, have as little money in the bank as you can get by with having and still pay your bills. And Noble Gold can help you with all that. In fact, they can gold-proof your IRA, and gold's held its value for 6,000 years. And do not trust the banks. Seriously, do not trust the banks in this economic environment. So Noble Gold can help you with all that and more. They're into silver because silver is the new Green Deal mineral. What do you do? Well, you call them. But first, I got to give you a warning. This is a required warning. It's probably a pretty good idea given what happened with FTX. Where was the FTX warning at here, federal government? But anyway, the warning is this. Past performance is no guarantee of future performance, and all investments carry an inherent risk. Now, we've all got our big boy pants on. We know that. So here's how you get a hold of Noble Gold and start diversifying and protecting your nest egg. Go to the phone after the show and call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347, or if you're shy and don't want to talk to anybody, but you'd like to read about what you could get, know that you'll have to call them because they're not high pressure. You can go to goldbeforelate.com and they will send you material. Those are our sponsors for this particular show. And I hope you realize here that when we choose sponsors for our radio and for our podcasts, we choose sponsors that we think that you might need. We hope you don't, but we are really sincere in trying to help you prepare for the disaster that the Biden administration has brought this country. In fact, speaking of disasters they have brought our country, we are going to be talking, Doug and I are, about what's going on in Europe. I've hit a little of this on our YouTube channel, but I really haven't hit it full force, and Doug and I endeavor to do that tonight. So, Doug, welcome. Thanks for tolerating that long warm-up here, but we got to take care of business. And I agree with you. What we talked about preliminarily going on the air, Europe is in an absolute mess.
Well, we have Europe, but we also have something recently that just happened over in Colorado, in the Springs area with the...
Oh, yeah. That's terrible.
The, yeah, was it Q Club? I think that's what it's called.
It's LGBTQ, and it was, I think it was called the Q Club. Yeah, that was terrible. Absolutely,
yeah,
horrendous.
I think it's like 29 shot, 5 killed, and at least 24 injured now.
Yeah.
But they detained the shooter, so that's always a good thing. You know, one of the strange things with active shooters is that we in law enforcement, we rarely get to detain them. Most of the time, they suicide out, or they want to go out by getting into a gunfight with cops. So it's always good to get our hands on these people so that we can dissect them mentally and try and figure out what it is that made them go for these targets. Because we know, you know, a nightclub that is, you know, targeted by people who are part of, you know, that community, it could be viewed as a hate crime. And
it probably is. Doug, it probably is.
Yeah, it probably is. And I'll tell you what, man. Even though I am a Christian, even though I'm completely against that lifestyle, I am not for harming people.
Exactly.
So, you know, prosecute the guy to the fullest, you know, put him on death penalty. I don't care.
Yeah, he deserves the capital punishment. But, yeah, listen, you know, I don't have to say I align with someone's lifestyle. No one deserves this. We're all children of the same one God, and we need to act accordingly. And as we are really consistent here on the Common Sense Show, we don't condone violence against anybody. And our thoughts and prayers are with the family members and the victims that are affected. This is a horrible, horrible thing. No one should be singled out for what they believe.
Nope. I completely disagree with people who, you know, they go on the extreme route in attacking people.
Yeah.
I say hate the sin, not the sinner.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I want to address something. I watched about a 3-minute briefing from a state representative. She's a homosexual. She goes to this same bar, and she said that the homosexual group is under attack physically, violently, and that she has been under attack on social media. And she said primarily because she supports teen transgenders. Now, I don't care what you do at a bar. Yeah, I don't care what you do at home, you know, but when you are trying to affect the very fragile system of a child's mind and you use them as a political prop, and not only that, but you're sexualizing children for your own deviancy, yeah, I got a problem with that. All right, so
yeah,
I don't think people like this should be, and this is Doug's personal opinion, I don't think people like this should have any kind of power to them. Because, look, if you just wanted to be gay, then go be gay. I don't care. We have gay congressmen. We have it's a common thing now. I don't like it. I don't agree with it, but I understand that is the way of the world. But when you want to sexualize children, and then you want to say, oh, I can't believe I'm being attacked online for it. Well, yeah, lady, because you're a pedophile if you agree with that. You know, but they're trying to normalize that. Okay, so I just wanted to get that off the plate. Active shooters have gone up 1,000% since 2017, and they're going to continue to get worse. And let me actually finish with this, because it's fixing to become a hot button, Dave. What happened at this nightclub? They're going to say – they're going to blame it on Republicans, right? They're going to say that guns are the problem, that white men are the problem, because that's what they always say. And as far as I know, this is a 21, 22-year-old white guy. He used a long rifle, most likely an AR-15.
What the hell is that? Are we being messed with again? Anyway, let's hope not.
I don't know. Stop it, FBI.
I don't even have this. It said, hi, my name is Bixby. I don't even have Bixby. I don't use it. So, yeah, at least it's not the theme to the NFL. We've had that before. Listen, Doug, I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought, but I totally agree with you. But you know what? I look at it like this. I'm a Christian. I try to live a Christian lifestyle. I'm certainly not perfect. I don't hold myself above other people. But at the end of my days, I have to answer for my own life. And so does everybody else. And if you're not harming someone else, you know, you do what you got to do, and, you know, we all have to meet our maker at some time, and that's how I look at it. Judge not, lest you be judged. But I will say this. I totally agree with you. Children, don't get to decide when they give up their genitals. That is abuse of the highest order. I believe, I'll even go as far to say, as I think it's satanic. If someone 18 years old wants to do gender transformation, okay, I think that they should look at counseling first, because that's my training that I had as a therapist. Gender identity disorder, or gender dysphoria is what we called it. And I think they should explore the issues before they make such a drastic decision. But if they're 18, it's their right. Children, yeah. Get the hell out of our children's lives. Get out of our classrooms with your drag queen crap. Stop sexualizing first graders. I mean, showing first graders about the techniques of oral sex, that even bothers me to say this on the air. But it's happening. It's happening. And I know, because I have parents who tell me about it happening. And I'm sick of it. It's perversion. And it needs to be stopped. And it's not. That what this congressman said is a disservice, and she's dishonoring her office. She has the right, as a gay person, straight person, doesn't matter, go to wherever you want to recreate. That's fine. Don't give me this crap about transgender is somehow an attack on gays. It is not. It's child abuse versus comparing it to a lifestyle.
But it gets better, because then she goes on and she says, and when are we going to address the violent gun crime in America?
Yeah.
All right, so let me put my cop hat back on. The highest amount of sexual abuse, violent sexual abuse, to include rape. I don't know if they still consider it sodomy anymore, but rape and suicide. Oh, and by the way, child sex violence comes from the homosexual community. I'll say that again. It's an FBI statistic that it comes from the homosexual community for rape, suicide, and child sex abuse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to get on your high horse and try to lecture people who, you know, have guns, you may want to look at your own community and your own problems first, or just shut up and get off the podium. But I don't see, you know, listen, we have 100 people die in Chicago a month?
Yeah, I know.
I haven't seen Lori Lightfoot come out and say, we need to come and take the pistol out of every gang member's hands.
I know, and they have strict gun control. But this is what you get when you defund the police. You have no cash bail. And you just keep turning the same animals back out on the street, and they victimize each other. This is horrible. And you have all the innocent people that are killed wrong place, wrong time in Chicago. It hurts my heart to hear these stories. But, you know, I just want to, you know, and Doug, we're on firm ground here when we say this. Neither one of us, we're not gay, but I don't condemn gay. You choose your life, live your life. You know, you're not harming anyone, fine. We all answer for what we are at the end of our days, and my sins are no worse than anyone else's, at least in terms of nonviolence. But I will say this, okay, for that congresswoman to say what I just said, that somehow disagreeing with transgenderizing children is an attack upon gays, that's a load of crap. That is a load of crap. Okay, in fact, you know, honestly, I don't condemn violence against any group. But I will tell you this, I think we should be putting doctors in jail that do these surgeries on minors.
Absolutely. I mean, this is just my opinion here, right? But you mean to tell me a doctor can try to prescribe anything but the COVID vaccine and they can get their license yanked from them?
Yeah, exactly.
Nope. But at the same time, a doctor can give a mastectomy to a young child because she believes in her head, because her teachers and her friends told her, and, you know, some twit on TikTok told her that she needs to be a boy if she has a, you know, boy-like tendencies. I don't understand it. I don't understand the butchering of our children and how it's legal.
No, I agree with you. I'm assuming the sound is 5x5, right?
Yeah, we're square.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, we had a little issue with a little outage here earlier tonight, so we seem to be running smoothly. Yeah, it's tragic. And I'm going to say this. I don't care. Every one of these victims are gay. It doesn't mean that my heart doesn't hurt. I'm not distressed by this event. I am. No group, I don't care who you are or where you are in the world, no group deserves this. And, but the thing is taking the guns away? Well, first of all, I'll just say this. The university-wide democide project, very clear, look it up, democide project, death by government. They did two things, Doug. They compared death by government in the 20th century to death by genocide, death by war. And what they found was death by government far outnumbered death by war. Government's much more dangerous to an individual. But here's the thing they found out. There were 16 genocides in the 20th century. And the University of Hawaii found that every one of the genocides was preceded with gun confiscation. And you can take as many guns as you can out of a society, but that doesn't mean you're not going to prevent crimes like what happened in Colorado Springs. You are not. In fact, actually, Colorado Springs, this guy had elements of his gun that were illegal under Colorado law. Didn't stop him, did it?
Who'd ever thought the murderer would think about legalese?
Thank you. Yep. It's just kind of like we put up a sign, you know, at schools, gun-free zone. That's a bunch of BS. You either need an on-duty cop or train some staff members like ex-military to protect kids. You have to fight fire with fire. The cops get there in time to draw chalk around the dead bodies. And I hate to be so graphic, but this idea that taking away all the guns in theory, that only makes the problem worse. These people are so full of crap, I can't believe it. There's another reason to have a Second Amendment, people. And that's because you have a tyrannical government in some cases, and if they come after the people have a right to defend themselves.
Well, let me break this down real quick before we move on to another subject. An active shooter is anywhere, as the Department of Justice now states, along with, I think, the CDC, where it is four people shot at an incident or more. Not three, but four. So we're not going to count all the different times an active shooter only shot one person or two people or three people, but just four people, right? So today, yesterday, November 20th, we had a active shooter in Dallas, in Yazoo, Mississippi. The one in Dallas shot four. The one in Mississippi shot seven. The one that was in Colorado Springs shot 24. Then we have another one in Chesterfield County, Virginia, that was on the 18th. Another active shooter in Puerto Rico. Another active shooter in Phoenix, Arizona. That one was five. Charlottesville, Virginia on the 13th. That was five. Memphis, Tennessee, that was four. Omaha, Nebraska, eight people were injured, one was killed. Philadelphia, big shocker there, four people. And look, we have had an active shooter in almost every day in November so far. Almost every single day of November, we have had a recorded active shooter where it's four people or more during the shooting. What is also called a mass shooting, four people or more. So it's getting dangerous out there, all right? And the lights are still on. Law enforcement is still on patrol. You know, people are still able to get their barbiturates and their alcohol and their drugs and their narcotics. The day you can't get that, imagine how much it goes up.
Yeah, Paul Martin used to say that. Imagine if people can't get their psychotropic medication for mental illness, what's going to happen on that day? Yeah, Katie bar the door. I hear you.
Well, I can tell you I've dealt with the people who are on those types of medication when they aren't on the medication. And if it wasn't for the fact that law enforcement was doing their due diligence and interfering with these people's malicious behaviors, you would have a lot of problems.
Yeah.
But look what's happening in Europe, right? Just imagine, just in Ukraine alone, the amount of violence that's going on that is not Russia-Ukraine conflict related. All right, that's something we're not going to know too much about. But the amount of violence that's just in Ukraine alone is staggering. The amount of violence that is in the EU is staggering. And now they're saying they're going to have to ration food and energy.
Are you referencing any specific countries?
So from what I was viewing so far, I think France, Germany, some Nordic states, obviously Ukraine. It's sporadic, kind of, but I think they'll all fall as the dominoes fall, and they'll either bow the knee to Vladimir Putin and get the oil and the liquid natural gas, or they're going to continue to see mass problems. Whenever you don't have electricity going, guess what you also don't have? People going to work. Now you have mass layoffs. Now you have more people that are needing to get onto the government system for assistance. That puts a huge strain. And when you have a lack of people in the workforce, you have more people to deal with who are hostile because of the inability of their government to provide. You're going to have people that are going to be, you know, fighting over food, fighting over fuel. If you want to see what a fight over fuel looks like, go to freaking Port-au-Prince, Haiti. I've seen that. It does not bode well for anybody. And, oh, by the way, looming war with Russia. So take a step back in history. Look at what happened during World War II. Look at all the effects of all the countries during World War II. Let's say post-1935. When all these other nations, especially some of the Slavic nations, were being attacked, were being manipulated by the Nazi government, you quickly saw a downfall in economies, except for Germany's, and then you had to see conflict that started to arise with groups that were going with the Nazis and going against Nazis, so now a lot of civil conflict, a lot of infighting. We would call it like a riot or a rebellion that turned very hostile and kinetic. And then the war breaks out in 40. And by that point in time, you know, you got 5 years of this war rages across the European continent all the way down to Africa. And it is total chaos, out of control, and now the world has caffeine down onto it. We don't have the same alliances then as we do now. I would say that we may have more countries with our alliance as America now, but who has the real resolve to want to go to war with Russia like the world wanted to go to war with Germany? There's a
the provocation's not the same, though.
The provocation is not the same. That's why it's being manipulated.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why Ukraine is being manipulated, so that they try to say, look how bad Vladimir Putin is. He's like Stalin. No, he's not. He's not like Khrushchev. He's not like Stalin. He's not like Hitler. He's not like a Mao. He's a tough guy. He's a mafia guy. But, you know, and I don't agree with everything Vladimir Putin does, but that's his own damn country. But, you know, Russia hasn't come to America to try and influence us on the marketplace. Russia hasn't gone to any of our neighbors lately and tried to steal our resources, but America has. If you know your geopolitics, then you know that America has used the United Nations and NATO to tighten the noose around Vladimir Putin, which makes the Russian bear very, very aggravated. The more you push him into the cave, he'll either find the end of the cave and either sit there or he's coming out of it, right? And one of the things that I've been saying is, don't forget, The Russian bear has nuclear claws. So this could not go very well for anybody, especially Europe, who will be the first people to be struck. We now have an
Are you sure? Are you sure the submarine missiles wouldn't come for us first?
No. No, I think strategically you take out your closest enemy. Doesn't mean you have the nuclear strike, but you would invade. You absolutely would do air bombing. You absolutely would be taking down grids. Here's a good study for people. Look at how much the infrastructure has been attacked very methodically by Russia so far in Ukraine. They have struck every different type of infrastructure that they have, from bridges to highways, main thoroughfares, the refineries, you know, the energy generation stations. Everything that is the lifeblood of that country is being slowly decimated. And the problem is going to be, even if Russia stopped, right? Even if Russia and Zelensky came out yesterday and said, or today, and said that, you know, hey, we're going to agree to an accord, we're not going to fight each other anymore, and we're going to try and get along. Well, they're probably 5 to 10 years before they get their infrastructure back. Now, once again, people without jobs, people on government assistance, and this is an extremely corrupt government. You have loose gangs, you have corrupt police, corrupt politicians, corrupt military. Oh, by the way, the Azov Battalion, who is a neo-Nazi battalion who has been literally terrorizing their own people in the Donetsk, Dnieper area, all right? It is the perfect storm for chaos. Russia has their hand to play in it, but the American politics of the West have manipulated the situation. There's going to be a point in time, Dave, when we're going to lose control of that, and Russia is going to start doing the same thing with their allies to America. And what better time than to do it now, while America is completely flabbergasted with each other? There is no real alliances. There's 20 different Republican parties, and there's 100 different Democratic parties. There's so many different little enclaves there where no one wants to agree to get along or try and meet in the middle with an olive branch. It's the perfect time for a strategic strike by using political weapons, which are just as harmful at times as a military-style attack, and it's by sowing dissent. That is one of the key ways. Sun Tzu even talked about it. You create strife amongst your enemy and let the infighting bring themselves down, and then you walk right in with solutions. You never had to fire a shot.
I've seen this movie before. This is what the Russian defectors told us, Golitsyn and so forth. They said the plan was for the Russians to take us down over the long haul from the inside out. There was a real good TV series on this, USA Today, 5-year series called The Americans. And I'm glad to say I got to watch it, because it really showed the Soviet program. And this is a real program, people, to infiltrate the media, infiltrate this, infiltrate that. And not only have we been infiltrated by Russians, we've been infiltrated by Chinese bribes. All I gotta say is look at members of Congress like Mitch McConnell. So, 25 million a year from China, because his in-laws control the 6 major ports in China. Yeah, so, you know, and also he took 2.5 million from FTX. I saw the evidence last night on my TV interview. There's no question. So we're being infiltrated from both sides. I've seen this movie. You're absolutely right about what you're saying. But I want to focus for a second here on the mechanics of what's going on in Europe. It's not just Putin doing this to Europe. That's what too many people think.
No, it's their own leadership.
The European leadership is sacrificing their population on the altar of the Green New Deal. It's a climate cult, and they could produce their own energy. They could demand Biden do the same thing. But here's the long and short of it. One, we're going to lose our military allies because industry is the, shall we say, the foundation for your military prowess. Number two, we're going to lose our trading partner. Our major trading partner is the EU. People say China. No, we're dependent on China for their exports, but our major trading partner is the EU. And we're about ready to lose that as well. But if you believe in the notion that the goal of Biden is to tear down America, so in his words, as he said in the campaign of 2020, build back better, World Economic Forum saying, that means you got to tear it down before you build it back. And what does he want to build back? A one-party communist order. He made that speech on September 1st with a devil background. He doubled down in November right before the election with the same kind of speech. It's really clear. You're either with the Democrats or you're a domestic terrorist. So he's drawn a line in the sand. He's destroying this country financially, economically, and every other way. And he could help Europe. He won't. Doug, we're going to see the complete collapse of the West. That's what's happening, in my humble opinion.
Well, and our neighbors in Canada are facing the exact same thing.
Yeah, well, they've got a potential Stalin in charge in Trudeau. He is bad, 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 bad.
Do you ever sit back and you ask yourself, what are we thinking to allow this these actions to happen to devolve our society?
We're not thinking. That's the problem.
No, it's a Socratic question here, but we are thinking with our emotions and not with logic. Common sense is not a common virtue anymore. And I will say this. I want to be gentle when I say this. You know what? Screw that. I'm not gentle. We have an entire group of people from the ages of 17 to 29 that are complete morons. They don't know their history, and this is not everybody, obviously, not categorically, but for the most part, they don't know their history, or if so, they believe the history is a lie. They believe the history has been manipulated by white supremacists, by the Christian churches who are all about patriarchy. You know, what's really sad about that is that, I've talked to some people about this recently, is that for all those who hate Christianity so much, you sure do love the country that you live in. I dare anyone who wants to talk bad about Christianity, go to a Muslim nation and talk bad about the Quran. I will say this.
I'll put you to death.
Maybe in America, maybe the Christian church has become so weakened and castrated that we no longer have the fear of God in the church, and so the fear of God is not reflected in the people. But the fear of the scimitar is ever awake in the Muslim countries. You will not see the leftists go to a Muslim country and pull the stunts that they do. And I hate to say this, as barbaric as a lot of these countries are, they will outlast us. Because they have a stranglehold on their politics. Their politics revolves around their religion. And for us in America, we're all about freedom of religion. But that's not the way our Constitution was designed, nor were the principles of the Constitution and the direction of the country were designed to go. So our constant chase of freedom from everything has left us with a clause that now we don't have to take action upon anything either. We're free of all these things of the past patriarchy, the evil patriarchy. But what are you going to replace it with? Because power is not going to go away. Evil people who want to be in control of your life are not going to go away. They're not going to bow the knee. They want to confuse you so that you fight within and you don't look at what they're doing, right? And that's one of the main reasons why Europe is failing, why the West is failing. And I will say this, Russia is staying intact because Russia revolves, for the most part, their policies and their country's laws around a Christian worldview. It may not be to the extent of what we consider it here because of the Russian Orthodox Church, but at least they're pretty hardcore about it. You know, I mean, they're, if you look at the debaseness of the American culture and compare that to Russia, it's not the same.
It's not the same. Russia is much more homogeneous than we are. And it gets into, I think a nation can tolerate subcultures just fine as long as there's loyalty to the dominant culture, which are, in our case, should be the constitutional liberties that we were bestowed. But we don't have that anymore. We have many people in our country today that think you shouldn't have freedom of speech, you shouldn't have the right to own a gun, and the federal government should reign supreme over the states and take away the 10th Amendment, and that property rights are evil and racist. I mean, these are views you're hearing from the Democratic Party. So we are not on the same page as a country. We've had subcultures and been together on the same page, but we're not now. We're not now.
No. No, and you know, you're always going to have infighting. Deadly infighting. You know, you're always, what was it, the 1800s with the Mormons? You know, they more or less got attacked by the military after attacking the military. You've always had these problems in America, but never to the extent that we are now. We're so divided that I fear that if we were actually attacked by an exterior force, that we wouldn't come to rally with our neighbor.
Not anymore. There was a time, it's kind of like when a cop goes to a domestic dispute, that's the most dangerous thing for a cop to do, and he'll go to arrest one of the spouses who's the offending party, and the other one will attack the cop with a knife. I mean, and that used to be how America was. You know, we'd fight with each other, but an attack upon one was an attack upon all. Let me give you an example. Here you had Japanese people, and I deplore what happened, put in detainment camps on the West Coast because, gee, they might help people in Japan because they're both Asian. How stupid was that? So the Pentagon would not let Japanese-American soldiers fight against Japan. So they had the 442nd Regiment. I don't know if you know this story or not, but it was American commanders of white males commanding Japanese-American soldiers. They were citizens. They were the 442nd, and they went to Italy, and they won more citations in Italy than any other unit. And see, that's an example of what I mean, that an attack upon one was an attack upon all. And under extraordinary circumstances, these Japanese Americans fought to defend their country. And we see this in other groups at other times. You know, you had black people fighting in the Civil War.
Yep.
And so you look at this and you say, okay, we used to have that quality. That, you know, we can fight with each other, but we're on the same side when we have an external threat. I tend to agree with you, Doug. I fear that if the Chinese showed up on the horizon, we would just lay down and take our beating. Not everybody, but a lot of us would. And I agree with you about the age group. The average kid from 18 to 29, 75% of them voted Democratic. And I wonder if they know they're voting for higher gas prices, continued inflation, diminished food supply, diminished job opportunities, debasement of the currency through inflation caused by Biden's energy policies. You see, I wonder if anyone's ever told them this. Otherwise, well, see, they would be voting the way they are.
A lot of these kids, you know, and if you're 29, I'm going to call you a kid. Sorry. You know, I'm 35, and every year I look back and I think, man, that kid was an idiot. That's just, you know, my own humbleness. But I'll tell you this much,
Doug, it gets worse when you get older. Trust me.
I know. The older you get, the more you know, and the more you know, the more sorrow it brings, because you realize that young people are being captivated, and the people that have caught their eye are evil. They are, I mean, my Lord, how many of our politicians got caught up in the Epstein scandal? And is scandal really the word for it? They were having sex with kids. They were hunting children on a island. And our politicians knew about it. Our law enforcement knew about it. And no one did jack shit about it. And here we are once again. We have FTX going on. You have Republicans. You have Democrats. You have these big business moguls. You have actors, major sports players, all caught up in this scheme. Oh, and by the way, did you know that that guy gave himself a $1 billion loan before he exited out of everything?
Oh, you're talking about SBF?
Yeah, FTX. Yeah, it's
yeah. SBF is his initial, Sam Bankman-Fried.
Yep. Yeah, Bankman, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're eventually going to have to pay the piper. And I don't know exactly how that's going to look in America presently, but I know how that looked historically. I've recently been studying about the de-evolution of the Roman legions. There was a point in time when the 10th legion, that was, God, they were the horse legion. And they were the most favored legion by Caesar. And they were always on his right flank. They won the most honors. And Caesar kept promising them, I'm going to pay you all. You're going to have paid off retirement. You know, you're all going to be discharged. You're all going to be landowners. And he kept doing it, and he kept doing it, and he kept saying he's going to do it. And more civil wars would come, more need for the legions to push out into various different lands to reconquer or to quell an uprising. And these people from the 10th Legion, the most honored legion, eventually got so fed up with it, they actually rebelled against Caesar. But I want you to hear what Caesar did, and I want you to comment if you think our leaders would do the same. And you can compare the 10th Legion to the veterans and patriots of America who have turned themselves against this government, all right? When the 10th Legion turned their backs against Rome, and they said, we're not going to fight for you anymore. If anything, we're going to defect. We are going to rise up against you. We are the most powerful legion. We have the most honors. You honored us the most. You loved us. But since you're not going to carry out on your word, we are actually going to now take our swords against you. So for a few years, there was an uprising.
Are you talking about Spartacus?
No. This isn't Spartacus.
Yeah, this wasn't the slave rebellion, was it?
No. This is the 10th Legion. This is the actual Legion rebelling. All right. So
the 101st Airborne went AWOL is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So Caesar is stuck in conflict elsewhere, and it takes him a couple years to get out of conflict, to get back to Rome, to finally talk to this legion and to figure out what is going on face to face, because they demanded to see Caesar face to face. So Caesar goes there and he says, okay, what's all the problems? And they list it. We're not getting paid enough. We were supposed to be discharged. We're all supposed to be landowners. We're your favorite legion. We have the most honors. Where are you and your word that you were supposed to keep? So Caesar does probably one of the greatest things I've ever read. He says, okay, well, you were all dismissed, full honors, and I will go straight to the treasury to make sure all of you get paid. And he just silenced the entire legion. Thousands of men just silenced. Like, oh, okay, well, no fight, no dramatic yelling at each other. And he says, nope, it's all done. You're right, I'm wrong. And then Caesar gets on his horse and he leaves. And he says, now I have to go back to the campaign because we are losing territory. And since you're not going to fight, you're going to stay this one out. And what he did was he did a great act of psychological warfare. He did not attack their strength. He attacked their weakness, which was their pride. So by the end of this quell with the 10th Legion, they were literally on their hands and knees saying, don't pay us. Don't take us off the honor rolls. bring us back into the fold so that we can fight beside you again. And Caesar said, no, you said you wanted to be over here. You said you didn't want to be with me anymore. Now you're going to get paid. You're all going to get retired. Go be farmers. And he actually didn't call them countrymen. He called them citizens. It was a huge, huge attack upon their pride. All right. But they eventually conceded to what Caesar wanted and fought. And then they got their discharge and all that other great stuff. All right. Could the same thing happen here in America? Do we have the same type of leadership? And I'll tell you right now, the answer is no.
No. Milley. All you got to do is say Mark Milley.
Yeah, we do. We have traitors amongst the legion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
Nobody, and I'm telling you, even if Russia and China were to hit us in a Panzer attack, you will have groups of people in our military who will say, "I'm not going to do what these guys want me to anymore. They're destroying my country, and I'm not going to fight for them." You'll have an entire groups of fighting forces who will not align with that, and they will sit at home and protect their own. And it's because we have a failure in leadership. We have a failure in courage of men, especially within the higher ranking echelons of men. And I'm not going to, say that I'm the guy who can solve these problems, but there are plenty of men like me who think like me, who know history like me, and who have been on the front lines, which is where you lead, not in the rear. You lead men in the front, right? We don't have those leaders anymore in the Pentagon. We don't have those leaders anymore in DHS, in DOJ, in the CIA, or DIA, NSA. We don't have those guys. Probably the best group I could say that is relative to that is actually the Border Patrol. So I, in a lot of ways, look at the Border Patrol as the future 10th Legion, who has been betrayed by its own command. They're the ones who are keeping our southern flank. They're the ones who are being shot at every day. They're the ones dealing with people with all different types of diseases every day. Their overtimes are being cut in half. They're not getting to take annual leave when they want to. They can't transfer most of the time because you get burnt out really fast on the border, and all you Border Patrol cats that listen to me, y'all know what I'm talking about. You get burnt out very fast, and you do not have any help from D.C. What happens the day the military from Russia decides to come into Mexico and start heading north to our border? You expect Border Patrol to stand there and to take the first shots? If you had a patriotic leader who would get out there like Alexander the Great from the Macedonians, who more or less stripped down naked in front of all of his men when they revolted against him because they wanted to go home, and said, "Which one of you has more scars on you than I do?" We don't have those leaders anymore. And that's one of the things that worries me, is that we're not going to be able to just fabricate these heroic type of leaders during any type of conflict, because they're so busy with their suit and ties and going to meetings at the Bilderberg or at Jeffrey Epstein's Island or the G20s and eating $500 meals every day, that they forget that the fighting men and women who keep this country safe are watching them.
Well, the failure for Milley to even show the slightest remorse when 13 brave service people were sacrificed because of his bad leadership in Afghanistan told you everything you needed to know about the military leadership in this country.
When Biden looked down at his watch as those caskets were being offloaded in Dover at the Air Force Base in Delaware, I was so sickened. I was so heartbroken.
Yeah, I hear you. He looked at his watch five times. Five times. Five times. And these are people who followed orders and sacrificed their life.
This is my best advice for all of you. Train, prep, and pray. I say that consistently, and I hope there are people who are hearing me, Dave. There is going to be a fight that is coming to America. There will be. It's not a if, it's a when. And the weaker we get, the sooner that when comes. If you are not prepared for the adrenaline dump that's going to happen in your body the first time you have to run under gunfire, if you're not prepared physically, spiritually, mentally for that type of a conflict, especially if you're a family person, you got kids like I do, if you don't have the food stored up, if you don't have the diapers, the toys, hey, and people may laugh when I say that. I watch all these videos that are of these embedded reporters in Ukraine, and they're going to a lot of these bunkers. You know what some of the biggest things they need for humanitarian aid has been? They need diapers, formula, they need vitamins, they need prenatals. You know, the elderly people need their medical supplies met, but yet there isn't a government to bring them anything because their country is at war. So this should be a Ukraine should be a clarion call to anyone who has any inkling of thought about not prepping. Let Ukraine be the canary in the coal mine to you.
Well, you heard the advertisements, water filters, food, and diversifying to protect your nest egg. I don't know what else we can do here to encourage people. And, you know, we're not selling bubble gum here. And I tell people that you need to really seriously look at what's going on. I like to say this: food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, because you'll run out of prescriptions, and tools. And you need those things. And I can't stress to people that the time to accumulate is almost gone. When the supply chain collapses, and it certainly looks like we're moving in that direction, things aren't going to move. The railroad strike, December 5th, diesel going up. Truckers will leave when it reaches an average of $8 a gallon, and it's likely to do that. Now that the election's over, Biden is even warning the country, expect economic setbacks. Yeah. Thanks for selling off our reserve oil, Biden, so you can help get Democrats reelected, because prices aren't skyrocketing. They're about ready to go through the roof. So, yeah, what do you say here to such treasonous leadership that we have? And Obama took care of this. He got rid of all the conservative officers that he could, and now we're left with politicians as generals who couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper bag, and they're leading. I mean, you hear Milley, he doesn't talk about, hey, we're developing these tactics to use against the Chinese. He's worried about, are we diverse enough? Do we have white racism in the military? You know, it's kill or be killed.
Well, I think in our country we have lost what the real meaning of victory is. The real meaning of victory is not to merely defeat your enemy, but to destroy them, to completely eradicate him from living memory, to leave no remnant of their endeavors, to crush all of their achievements and remove all record of their very existence. And from that type of a defeat, there is no recovery from your enemy. And that is the true meaning of victory. And that is what's being done to America.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree. I totally agree with what you're saying. Doug, we got about a minute or so left. I want people to start following you in greater numbers. And you got an important show, the American Vindictus Show. Tell people how they can listen.
Well, if you ever want to listen to America's Anger, if that's what American Vindicta means, you can follow me on YouTube, on Rumble, GSRadio.net, Heroes Nation, which is the official backup for the show. Also go to www.AmericanVindictusShow.com to see all the other different affiliate stations that I'm on. For all the podcast stuff, it's all there on the first page. And if you want to help support the show, there's also a support tab that's on there as well. But you know, Dave, at the end of the day, people need to get right with God, probably more than they need to be worried about politics. I think that's where we're at right now in this country.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. We got to get right with God. You're totally right about that, because then everything else falls into place. And but I'll say this where we started: keep your hands off our kids, you perverts. Anyway, Doug, that's it for the show. We're done. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. We want you to go out and enjoy your life as best you can, but we need to put our noses to the grindstone if we're going to claw our way back to respectability and civil liberties that mean something. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back here next time.